Well, amen. Thank you, choir. As always, what a beautiful song to share this Sunday and the special time that we have this morning to observe the Lord's Supper together, to recognize the reason in which the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. Brother David shared this morning from Mark's Gospel, a record of the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem that Sunday, on Palm Sunday, before the Passover, before he would die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. That event is recorded in all four Gospels, and it's good to read those and compare the different accounts and records of that. This morning, I want us to look for a few minutes at John's record in John chapter 12, verse 12 through 19. It's a little shorter record of that event, but one that we want to examine and look at this morning. In John chapter 12, verse 12 through 19, the Word of God says, John says, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.' And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, set thereon, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on a donkey's colt.' These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him.'" This morning I want to speak to you on this subject, the triumphal entry of Christ. This is the only time that the Lord Jesus in his ministry allowed a public declaration and demonstration of who he was, the Messiah who came to save sinners from their sin. And this morning we're going to learn, if not already, that was in itself a fulfillment of Old Testament scriptures and prophecies. That's why he allowed that to occur. But we also are reminded as well, the religious leaders grew in their animosity towards Jesus, that would ultimately culminate in less than a week's time, the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified on the cross of Calvary. And so this morning, let's pray and let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts about the significance of the events that day in the life of the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this privilege to gather here and to worship you as your people. Lord, what a holy time of year as we approach the Easter season and Sunday, as we think about this Sunday, what happened so many years ago when the Lord Jesus came into Jerusalem that week for the Passover, and how he was declared there and recognized as the Messiah, the Son of God. Lord, we pray that you will speak to our hearts concerning this glorious truth as we prepare to gather at your table as your people and to remember what you did for us and accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary, to look forward in rejoicing in what you're going to do when you come again for us as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Father, we also pray that if there's one present here this morning that has never truly understood what Jesus came to do, who he is and what he accomplished for us on that cross, that today would be the day that they would come to a saving knowledge of you and enter into your kingdom, into your family, into the fellowship of your church and your body. And Father, We'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor and glory for all that you accomplish and all that you do. For we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, if we were to go back, you would remember that John began his gospel in chapter 1. One of the things that he shared there in verse 11 was the fact that Jesus came unto his own. He came into a world that he had created. He came into a world of people who were sinners in need of a Savior, and yet his own knew him not. The people of Israel, those who had been taught the Scriptures, those who had been proclaimed through the prophets that this Messiah would come bringing salvation, they knew him not. John couldn't get over the fact how Jesus literally came and yet he was rejected. All through John's gospel, he shared message after message. He shared some of the I am sayings of Christ in which Jesus literally declared himself to be God in the flesh. He shared some choice miracles, specific miracles from the life and ministry of Jesus that no doubt concluded, proved that he was the Son of God, that he was the Savior sent to die for the sins of the world. And yet, many of those religious leaders, many of the nation of Israel and the people of Israel rejected him. Here in John's account of the triumphal entry of Christ, it is in amazement that we recognize again he was rejected. You see, just that week before, one of the greatest miracles Jesus ever did was raised Lazarus from the dead. And this was different from every other person that he had raised from the dead. Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. He'd been in the tomb that long, and Jesus had called him forth from the grave, and news of that had spread from that little town and area of Bethany. People were hearing that week, and people had showed up, even as John records earlier in this chapter, to be at Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house where Jesus was again eating with them. And not just this great miracle that occurred that week before, but the very fact that what Jesus did that day as he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, it was a literal fulfillment of Old Testament scriptures and prophecy. And in spite of all of that, the religious leaders and many of the nation of Israel later that week in rejection would call out and cry out, "Crucify him on the cross of Calvary." Folks, we look in amazement. We would wonder, how can those who literally heard Jesus speak, how could those who have literally experienced the miracles and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, how could people literally seeing with their own eyes the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament Scriptures, how could they reject Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? But folks, this morning I would say we better not be too quick to judge them this morning, because I believe you will agree with me that the Lord Jesus Christ is still speaking today. He's still proclaiming the good news of the gospel through His church and through His people. And the Lord Jesus Christ is still doing miracles today. Oh, He's not just touching and healing lives physically. The Lord Jesus Christ is also still transforming the hearts and homes and lives of people who believe on Him and come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's still delivering people from addictions. He's still transforming and changing lives. He's still healing homes and marriages. He's still at work doing many, many miracles in our day and time. And yes, even as we look around in our nation, in our culture, in our world today, folks, we are literally seeing the fulfillment of the Scriptures of God in our very days and times in which we live. And yet many today still refuse to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Many still do not understand exactly who this man was and what he came to do and what he accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. And this morning, John, he couldn't get over. He came to his own, and his own knew him not. Nowhere did John see that truth more clearly than in that day that Jesus entered Jerusalem. Now, I want you to notice briefly this morning three things that stood out in the Apostle John's mind as he recorded the events that occurred that day. One thing that stood out was the praise of the people that day, the praise of the pilgrims. Look what he said in verse 12 through 13. He said, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees, and they went forth to meet him, and they cried, 'Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" Now, John tells us it's on the next day. It's that day after Jesus has had a meal with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and people are coming to see this man who's been risen from the dead by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the next day. That makes it a Sunday. That makes it the Sunday before the Passover. And as we see from what John writes here, it's why today we observe today as Palm Sunday, that week before the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said it was on that day, on the next day, the significance of that day. If we had time this morning, we could go to Daniel's prophecy in chapter 9. We could break it down and see how this very day, this very moment had been proclaimed. How Daniel had prophesied from the moment the command would go forth for them to return and to rebuild Jerusalem and to return from captivity, that the Messiah would reveal himself, and in that revealing of himself that he would be cut off, revealing he would come to die for those on the cross of Calvary, all who were sinners. Oh, it was on that day that the pilgrims had come to Jerusalem. They were gathering there because they were fixing to enter into a week of feast and worship and celebration in preparation for the Passover. They'd come to worship God, and as they'd come, they'd already heard the news. They'd heard the stories about how a man they knew by the name of Jesus had raised a man who was named Lazarus from the dead. And they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, that very man. And in verse 13, it tells us how they responded, how they reacted with praise that day. Folks, they were pilgrims coming to a worship feast. This morning, I remind you, we are pilgrims in this world. We're just a passing through. We're on our way to heaven. God's Word tells us that Jesus is coming. And folks, if they could wave palm leaves and they could shout Hosanna and sing Blessed Be the King, then surely this morning we could be excited and praise and lift our palms in worship and praise and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to die on the cross of Calvary for us and who's coming again to take us to be with Him forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to notice here, these folks, literally, they were praising God, and really for the wrong reason. Surely we can praise Him for the right reason. See, there's a significance of those palm leaves. It goes back to the days of the Maccabees, when they had experienced the deliverance of God and when they rededicated the temple that had been desecrated by Antiochus Epiphanes. They did so by waving palm branches. It was a symbol of victory. And so when they're waving these palm branches and they're laying them down before Jesus, it's a symbol of victory. They are cheering. They are recognizing the Messiah has come. Victory is at hand. You see, it was finally, they thought in their mind, it was the end to Roman rule. It was the end to Roman bondage and oppression. Their Messiah had showed up just as had been prophesied. But you see, they were looking for a political Messiah, and they literally missed that he came as a spiritual Messiah. See, they began to praise God. John remembered how they lifted their praise that day. They cried out, Hosanna. That word literally means save now. Give the victory now. They quoted Psalms 118, verse 25 through 26. And they shouted, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. See, there was no doubt at this moment to these pilgrims that Jesus was a Messiah, the Messiah. And they were lifting their praise. They were waving palm leaves. They were looking for Him to deliver them from Caesar and to deliver them from Roman bondage and rule. And yet, what Jesus came to do was deliver them from their greatest bondage, to save them from their greatest oppression, from their sin, their self, and from Satan himself. You know what, folks? Many today, they look for Jesus to deliver them from problems. And they don't understand and realize that Jesus came first and foremost to deliver us from our greatest problem. See, there's all kinds of people today. They'll show up in church, especially around Easter or Christmas, because they see Jesus as somebody that can fix their problems. Oh, they got family problems. They got financial problems. They got physical problems. They got emotional problems. They got struggles and hurts and hardships in their life. And so they believe Jesus is somebody that can fix their problems. But folks, you've missed it completely if you don't understand the source of all of our problems, that we're sinners in need of a Savior and God's forgiveness and grace. And that's why many come and they wave their arms. They shout praise to the name of Jesus. But I fear that many are just like the pilgrims that day. They did not recognize exactly who Jesus was and what He came to do in their lives. This morning, folks, we who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, folks, we should know this morning, He forgave us of our sins. We have been indwelt with the Spirit of God. We've been forgiven and made right with God. We've been set free from our bondage to sin. With all that's going wrong in this world today, praise God for that glorious thing that has went right for us in knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we must lift our voices and our hearts in praise today, just like they praised Him that day He entered into Jerusalem. But I want you to notice something else that He remembered about that day that stood out in His mind, and that was also the prophecy that was literally fulfilled before His eyes and the eyes of others that day. Look in verse 14 through 16. It says, "And Jesus, when He had found a young donkey, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on a donkey's colt. These things understood not His disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of Him, and that they had done these things unto Him." See, here's the second thing John mentions here, how that prophecy of Christ, of coming into Jerusalem on a donkey, it was literally fulfilled that day during the triumphal entry of Christ. And not only does he recall that, but listen, he also makes a confession. He also confesses that he and the other disciples, at that moment, they didn't even recognize the significance of what was going on. It was only after the end of the week. It was after He came forth from the grave in resurrection power and glory. It was on the next Sunday when they met the risen Savior that they remembered and they recognized the significance of that event. See, when He rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, it was a direct
literal fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah, hundreds of years before, had said their Messiah was going to come to Jerusalem riding on that donkey, and not on a horse like a world conquering general or king of some great nation or people. He would come riding on a donkey. Verse 9 of Zechariah 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon a donkey and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey." You see what Zechariah told him? Oh, your Messiah, he's coming, but he's not coming on a horse. He's coming on a donkey. He's coming in humility. He's not coming as a political Messiah and king you would expect. He's coming as a spiritual Messiah. He's coming in humility. He'll be riding on a donkey for the purpose of coming to Jerusalem as the Lamb of God and being the sacrifice for sinners on the cross of Calvary. He's coming to bring salvation to all who are in need of a Savior. He would also go on to proclaim he's coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, just like he will one day. But that day, on that day, as the people were raising the palm leaves and they were shouting and praising, "Blessed be the King who comes in the name of the Lord," Jesus came riding on a donkey. I imagine the Romans were there. They were always on alert in these times of festivities in Jerusalem. See, these were the times of religious worship, and they were heightened times of tension between the Romans. And so they were always there looking for any hint of insurrection, any hint of rebellion, anyone that would come in and try to rally the people and lead them to fight against Rome and the Roman generals and those place there. And what did they see? Not a man riding on a great horse with an army following him. No, just a man riding on a donkey with some few poor or many poor peasant people waving palm leaves and shouting praise to the Lord. You know, I can imagine right now they looked and they said, "Oh, there's no threat here. Nothing to worry about here." But I'm here to tell you this morning, there was one kingdom that was shaking and trembling as Satan and the demons and the devils of hell saw Jesus coming in. Oh, the devil, I know, he knew the Old Testament scriptures. He knew what had been said about the Messiah. Can you imagine the trembling and shaking that was going on? Oh, the fervor was unleashed. And ultimately, at the end of the week, Jesus would be crucified on the cross of Calvary. The devil and the demons of hell thought, "Oh, we stopped it." Oh, no, they didn't stop it. They were tools in the hand of God to unleash on a world of sinners salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, John, he couldn't get over that prophecy that day. And notice how he confessed, "We didn't even recognize it. We didn't even see the significance of it. It was only after he rose from the dead that next Sunday. It was only after we met the risen Savior that we remembered what had been said." I like Luke's gospel. He talked about two disciples on the road to Emmaus after the death of Jesus and their sorrow, and the risen Savior met them and began to talk to them about how those things had to happen. They were supposed to happen. They were prophesied. He had to do that as the suffering Savior of the people of Israel. And as he was doing that and coming through there, they took him to the house. They broke bread with him, and their eyes were open, and they literally recognized the risen Savior sitting there with them. You see, they understood. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, Easter and Christmas and Palm Sunday, all of these many times of religious worship and celebration, so many people today know about them, but there's no significance to them until they meet the risen Savior. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Folks, I want to remind you this morning, it's only when one meets the risen Savior that their lives are transformed, that their sins are forgiven. It's only when you enter into communion and fellowship with God and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God gives you insight and understanding to the glorious truths of God's Word. I hear people say a lot of times, I have a hard time. I can't understand the Bible. I'm telling you something. Once you get to know the author, it starts making a lot of sense. When you get to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your eyes are open. And perhaps there's someone here this morning, you've heard all about Jesus. You've heard all about who He is, but you've never truly met Him. You've never truly humbled yourself in repentance and saving faith. I want to tell you, that's where the difference is made in your life and for all eternity. Which leads me to the last thing that stands out in John's mind. Notice, it wasn't just the praise of the pilgrims that were gathered there. It wasn't just the prophecy that was fulfilled. But notice what he says in the last few verses of our text. He talks about the people. Verse 17 says, the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. In other words, they witnessed. They began to tell everybody when that occurred. And verse 18, for this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how we prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. See, I want you to notice this morning, one of the things that stands out in his mind is John remembers this. It was the people. It was the great crowds of people that day. And that's what it's all about, folks. People. That's why Jesus came, to seek and to save the lost. He came for people. There was a great crowd of people. And listen, there was a great crowd that was coming with him from Bethany, down the mountain toward up towards Jerusalem. They were following him as he's riding that donkey. And then here's this great crowd from the city that's coming out to meet him. Can you see that great crowd of people? Those with him and those coming to meet him. See, they'd seen the miracle, they'd witnessed it, and they'd heard about it, and they had gathered that evening before, and there'd been a meal in Mary and Martha's house with Lazarus there, and here they are, this great group of people. They're coming with Jesus towards Jerusalem. They've experienced something like they've never experienced before. Folks, this morning, do you not see, do you not get this picture in your mind, this glorious truth? That every one of us who've experienced the miracle of God's saving grace and raising us from the death and trespasses of our sins, that we are with Jesus now and we're on our way to a heavenly Jerusalem. But you see, there's also this group that's coming to Jesus. They've heard about this miracle. They've heard about this great life-transforming experience. And so now here they are coming out of Jerusalem. And they hear that Jesus is coming. And they come out to meet Him. And folks, so today there are many who are hearing about Jesus. Many are hearing about the difference that Jesus is making in people's life. And therefore many are open to coming to meet Him. And to see exactly who He is. But notice what John witnessed there that day. It was the first coming of Christ. But it also speaks to us about the second coming of Christ. Because you know what the Scriptures tell us? When Jesus comes again to this world, He's going to sit down on Mount of Olives. And those who are in Christ, who are with Him, we're coming with Him. And all the world is going to come to Him. And every knee's going to bow. And every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. But only those who have received Him in repentance and saving faith will enter into His kingdom, into heaven for all eternity. The rest will be cast out into eternal darkness and everlasting fire and judgment. See, these Pharisees, that they're a perfect picture of those who have seen and heard about Jesus and come to meet Jesus, but have never been changed by Him, who've never come to know Him. They were looking on at all that was going on that day, and they were saying, oh, we've done everything we know to do to try and turn the people from Him, but all the world is going to Him. They didn't even realize they were speaking just like the high priest Caiaphas. They were speaking prophecy and didn't even know it. Caiaphas said, don't you know, it's just if one man dies, it takes one man dying to save a nation. He didn't know he was speaking the truth. Jesus was going to die to save a world of sinners in need of a Savior. And here they are saying all the world is coming after Him, and it will inspire them and motivate them later in that week to make every effort to put Him to death and to do away with Him. And yet still, folks, I want to remind you, all the world is coming to Him. There are those that are with Him, who are His children, who are His family. There are those who are going to bow before Him, and they're going to confess Him as Savior and Lord. But they're going to have to take their side with all those like the Pharisees and the religious leaders who have denied Him and rejected Him as Savior and Lord. Folks, that's what it's all about today. That's why we're here to worship today. It's all about people. It's all about lost people meeting Jesus before it's too late. It's all about people recognizing that Jesus was not just a good man or a great teacher. He came as the Son of God in the flesh to offer Himself on the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for our sins. And as John shared his account of this triumphal entry of Christ, he couldn't get over the truth. He came to His own, but His own knew Him not. Oh, with all the praise of the pilgrims that day, with the prophecy that was literally fulfilled before their eyes, many would take their stand with the Pharisees at the end of the week and shout, His blood be on us. Crucify Him. Crucify Him. But John also said in John 1 verse 12, listen, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God. As many as recognized His death on the cross, the shedding of His blood, was the perfect, spotless, sinless sacrifice of the Lamb of God for the sin of the world, as Jesus gave Himself for this on the cross of Calvary. And this morning, as we prepare to go to the Lord's table, as we prepare to remember what He did for us on the cross of Calvary, there are some here this morning, you're not ready to come to this table. You've never allowed Jesus the triumphal entry into your heart that He so richly and rightly deserves. And so this morning, as we enter into a time of invitation, the altar's open. The invitation is freely extended that you might come in repentance of your sin, in saving faith, trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if there's anything in your heart and life that's hindering your fellowship with Him or anyone else this morning, I beg you, come to the altar this morning. Get right with God so that you might be able to sit at this table worthily and enter into the joy and blessing that comes in knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. for what he accomplished for us there and how it was declared forever when he rose from the grave in resurrection power and glory. Lord, thank you for the difference your salvation and gospel makes in our lives. And this morning, as we prepare to remember that sacrifice, and together at this table, we ask that if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they come to know you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. God speaking to your heart. We invite you to come this morning. Won't you come?